Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
At Arkansas, he's a good guy, and still is this day, hadn't changed a bit. Same guy he was when he was 18 as he is now, which I'm not sure of it. Now, Greg, are you 50? Are you 56, 57?
I'm 56, Baz. Thank you for reminding me.
You're a young man. Of course, we're talking to Greg Thomas.
We'll pick.
Greg, good to talk to you. How you doing, man? I know you're headed to Arkansas here in a couple of days.
I will be in Arkansas Thursday. As a matter of fact, Thursday in Fort Smith and Friday in Fayetteville.
And this is for your book signing. And for those that don't know, I think we mentioned on the show about your book a couple weeks ago. But
well, I don't remember. Let's touch on it again.
No Doubting Thomas, of course. Tell us the story of how the book came together.
Well, first of all, let me plug where I'm going to be. Then we can go from there.
Sure.
So on Thursday from 2 to 4, we'll be at the Artistic Bean there in Fort Smith with my co-writer, Leland Barkley. And then I will be Friday at the Diamond Center over off of Dixon from 4 to 6:30, and then I'll also be at the Black Alumni Golf Tournament there Friday morning.
So all those places you can purchase the book and get you to sign it as well and meet you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have on Facebook and throughout our little social media, I have an order form where you can purchase it. You can also come to my nodoubtingthomas.hawkwhisperer@gmail.com. But you can also ask questions, and we can get it up purchased there also.
Yeah, you're good easy. Morning. You're good. You're easy to track down on Facebook. I will say this: I ordered the book. Uh-huh. I didn't wait on Greg. I went and ordered it. Greg said you should have ordered it through me. But what was weird, Greg, is reading about you when I was playing with you. It was sort of bizarre.
Sure.
You telling the stories about, you know, some of the things you were dealing with, and I was there with you. That may be the first time I think I've ever read a book where I'm in there at the same
time
period.
It's like looking over your body.
I follow you. So for those that don't know and haven't heard, so how did the book come about?
Well, it was something that began in 1984, that freshman season. Otis Lloyd and Kerry Owens and Reggie Hall, the Stuttgart three, just put it on my mind back then. This is something that's never been done here. You may want to document it. And throughout those 4 years, I documented way more stuff than I needed to.
Right.
And over the course of time, you pick it up 10 years later and then you put it back down and you have children and you're running around trying to find yourself. I picked it up again, put it down. But during the pandemic, school was different. I didn't have to be on the campus all day, every day for 8 hours. I only had 4 hours. So within the 4-hour frame, picked it up again and started writing, and found me a co-author, Leland Barkley, right there in Fort Smith. And then voila, this is what we have.
Well, so for those that don't know, again, you weren't the first black athlete to play up there, obviously.
No.
And so there's others that came before you in the 70s that were playing football, but what was unique is you were the first black quarterback.
That's just not unique for Arkansas. I mean, when you came on, I mean, it was.
You didn't have a lot of black quarterbacks
at the
time.
Nationwide football, pro or not, yeah.
Well, first of all, David, I was the second. Martin LeBlanc was the first one to play. 5 or 7 plays in 78.
Okay,
so I was the second about 8-9 years later, and I was the first to start.
First to start, yeah. So he got some playing time, but you were the first to actually run the team, and so
yes, sir.
So talk about some of the, obviously we want people to read the book, but maybe just talk about a couple of the things that you were dealing with, because I'm going to tell you, Greg, I was a team captain, and some of the things you talk about in the book, I was never told. I was not exposed to. So you kept a lot of this to yourself and with you and the staff or Dean or your team, your closest friends. Talk about some of the things that you were sort of dealing with that was going on when you were playing.
Well, it was a different time. I think I was one of probably 7 in the nation of 121, 125 D1 schools. I was one of 7 there in 85.
Mm-hmm.
Just people in general. Now, overwhelmingly, I was accepted.
Yeah, yeah.
But it don't take a lot to
sure.
Upset an applicant. part. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I got letters all the time. And the letters that I received, I'm pretty sure Coach Hatfield received the same amount of letters or more.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately and unfortunately, many of those letters got to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as an 18-year-old, I wasn't really expecting that. I didn't even know that they had not had another black quarterback there since 78. I was unaware when I accepted that scholarship. But Coach Hatfield said, if you come in, you can play quarterback. Everywhere else, they wanted me to play, receiver, DB, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there, it was explained to me by some of our teammates. Hey, dude, we don't have black quarterbacks here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened.
Right.
And so, all right, let's talk about it. And then, we started playing ball. I had to go down to with Coach Goldsmith and your defensive unit to try to make a little hay, because I wasn't even getting an opportunity with our team those first 2 weeks.
Right.
So it changed pretty quickly. Let's say by the third game, I'm playing in the third game there in Little Rock. And before we get back, let's say as a team, because we took those, our little Learjet.
Yeah.
And before we got back to Fayetteville, it was on from then on. The craziness and the unbelief became a reality.
Well, the other thing about it is, think about, again, that was how crazy. You had no social media back then. And so if people wanted to, say something negative about you, harass you in some way, either write you a letter or actually call your room. I mean, you could actually
call your room.
Well,
that's true. You guys used to have a directory out, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess those numbers were out, or people could find them. Of course, I think of, other players, obviously in a different circumstance, what you were dealing with. I remember hearing, I think Greg Horns talked about it,
Didn't Ricky Norton used to get some letters like that, too, on the basketball team, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, Ricky got a lot.
Yeah,
I was going to say that, but Greg Horn, who was not black, who was white, but he, the game against Texas when he missed the three field goals, I remember he took a lot of grief. Again, this was before people had a lot of different access, and that was the way you did it. You wrote letters,
right,
or you called. So looking back at that, Greg, now, so what's your big takeaway from that time and the kind of person you are now and what you went through? What's your sort of big takeaway?
The biggest takeaway is, some things you don't believe happens, and it happens.
Right.
And people don't believe stuff like that took place. It took place. In the book, I gave examples of teammates. I allowed them to answer the phone so they could hear it. So I couldn't say it happened and had no one to verify it.
Right.
I had teammates answer the phone. And they came, Atwater, come get the phone. Check this out.
Right.
Anthony Chambers, come over here. Listen to this. My roommate was David Smart at that time. Man, he took the brunt of it. And he did everything. And it's in the book. And he did everything he could to persuade me not to answer the phone from that Navy game, the TCU game the next week, until we finally, got the phone number changed. He took the brunt of it.
Now, Greg, were you getting these calls? Were you the only player, because you were their quarterback? Do you think they were targeting you as well? Obviously, I mean.
They asked for me, David. They didn't ask. Is this Greg Thomas' room? So I would say, yeah, it was somewhat targeted.
I mean, the other ones didn't. Atwater never said he got any. I'm not doubting you get them. Don't get me wrong.
No.
I'm just asking. None of the other guys got it.
Well, let me put it to you like this. You remember we had those programs, correct?
Yeah.
Remember
the media guys. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
They put our phone number and stuff in there.
No, I understand. I heard that the coaches' numbers used to be on there as well. You could get hold of the coaches as well. So I know you guys had directories out like that, but you were getting them. None of your other teams, because, Baz, you're oblivious to this going on, yes?
Yeah.
So Greg was able to keep that.
And that's the interesting. Of course, too, I think about it now. I'm glad you pointed this out early, though, Greg, in the interview. You said, it was not the majority. And what's sad about it, Greg, is that there's probably still a chunk of people out there that would still do the same thing. Yeah. That I think you're always going to have racism out there. It's going to be out there. Yeah. What's tough is to be in a high profile situation, 19 year old kid. And
that's a whole different thing. Being 50 is one thing. Being 18.
That's right. You know the other thing, Greg. By the way, we're visiting with Greg Thomas. If you just tuned in, his new book is No Doubting Thomas, Hog Whisperer, and he'll be in Northwest Arkansas. We'll mention those locations here in a second. Yeah. But the good thing too, when you were playing, we were winning. You know that 85 team. Obviously, that was a 10-2 team, which certainly would have been even worse if we, you know, the situation for you if we were losing, but we were winning, which I think, I mean, again, it wouldn't prevent those people who were going to call, but it would at least that we were winning games on the field, at least from a team standpoint.
Unbelievable team, Bab.
Yeah.
Unbelievable team. You know what? We should do something and recognize that 85 team also. That was I will stick our team and put them up against any team that's come through there.
We were 10-2 and lost two games by a combined 6 points. That was
6 points. Yeah. The team that you led as the defense of captain, and y'all didn't even give up a one rushing touchdown in an entire season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Those are things that we don't never talk about that we got to experience. My worst 4 years was 9-4.
Yeah, how about that?
So it's amazing. Yeah. We went four straight bowl games during that time. So we had some great teams. We just didn't win the conference, which was, you know, that's something that's not good, you know, but we got second. No one wants to be, you know, second place every time. But that was our worst season, was 9-4. We just had a 9-4 season, and we're celebrating that now in 2021.
Is there anything you think, Greg, is there anything looking back that you think that could have been done differently that could have helped? Or is this just, you just think that's you're going to have to – there are always going to be those kind of people. But looking back now, having been through it, would you have said, man, we need to try – it would have been better if we'd have handled it this way or some other way of looking at it?
Well, you know, situations are situations. I don't know. You know, the personality, I was protected by the team. So that's the best thing I want people to know. It's not a negative book. Those are just circumstances that transpired during the 4 years that I was there. But and people being ugly is people being ugly. You take that with anything. You can be black, white, green, whatever. If you're not successful, you know, people are going to complain. And they have the right to. We have the best fans in the world. Just some of those fans took it to a whole different level. And it wasn't Fayetteville. I'm shocked. We played in Ole Miss, as I mentioned in the book. Mm-hmm. That's the worst place I was ever treated, was in Jackson, Mississippi. Don't care if I ever go back to Mississippi.
I hear you.
Ever.
Greg, Baz was oblivious to what was happening and going on, and you had Atwater and some of the other players answer the phones for you, and I guess these were also other of your black teammates that did that. Were you told to keep this quiet during that time, not let it get out, not let it expand, so that it doesn't give credence to that person that's calling you and make more people do it? Did the coaches, either Hatfield or Coach Broll, say, let's keep it quiet?
No, it was never a keep quiet situation, but we didn't get the phone changed for 4 weeks. Well, I don't know what that is. I can honestly tell you it wasn't the same person.
Gotcha.
We know that for a fact.
Sure.
Y'all, no, it wasn't the same person.
Okay.
It was females, it was young people, old people. It was great.
Well, the great part about the story is you persevered. And you led some great Razorback teams. You know, we mentioned that the 85 team. I seen you were 10-2, and those were some fun years. And you were a great quarterback. I don't know. I guess you probably saw. And one thing Greg does a good job is keeping up with all of his former teammates and not only his teammates, Razorbacks as well. You saw where Brad Taylor went in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, and he preceded you, and it was a real nice night for Brad as well.
Yeah, and sorry I wasn't there to welcome him in there also. But I'll say it was the greatest time of my life. I promise you that. We had great teams, had great teammates. I stay in contact with as many as I possibly can, as well as you, Baz. You know, we laugh and joke from time to time.
Yeah, you betcha. You betcha.
But we were successful also.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing I think gets lost. But to answer your previous question, no one said keep it quiet. I just think it was bigger than what we knew.
Yeah.
And I don't think some people or those that were that could have said something or done something, I just think they just let it ride.
Gotcha. Well,
you were talking about Bill Russell back in the 50s.
Back in the 50s, the 60s, even that. But, I mean, when you look at watching this winning, and it was how many years ago today that Magic Johnson
the Lakers
was. So you got Magic Johnson, who in 79, 80, 81, 82, they're going to Boston, which is one of the one of the most racist areas in our country, was Boston. This is where our country began, you know, as far as the Freedom Trail and all that goes. So that was going on. But you know, I didn't see it. I didn't know what was happening. You're on the team and didn't see what was going on. And as fans, we didn't know that. But we definitely don't deny that things like that could have happened. And
well, I think it too. I think it shows. Geez. I think it does show. You know, your toughness, Greg. Obviously, obviously, love that Davis Martin's a great guy. I love the fact that he was stepping in there with you as a roommate. And that's one of the great things. You too. You have your teammates that are there in your corner. Mm. You know, that's what this is all about. To be honest with you, that's one of the greatest things about playing sports is that 40 years later, you're still buddies and you remember those times you know, you're leaving out on the field and practice and, taking up for, one another when you can. So, but listen, I love the fact that you're willing to write the book. Again, it's called No Doubting Thomas, Hog Whisperer, and you're going to be Thursday at Artistic Bean in Fort Smith from 2 to 4. And Friday you're going to be in Fayetteville at the Diamond Center from 4 to 6:30. And that you can find that information if you go to Greg's Facebook page, Greg Thomas, you'll see it on there. And that you also had a co-writer who is Leland Barkley. And will you write another book? Is this a one-off deal, one time only?
Oh, no. There will be two more for sure.
Oh, two more. What's
the second book? I'm trying to ride this one and learn the industry, man. I am now an entrepreneur. I'm a salesman.
Okay.
I'm a marketing man. You know, I have a great companion, Rebecca. She's doing everything to help me. And I love you, baby. Appreciate it. Got to give her a little shout out.
Sure.
Rebecca.
Well, you know what?
We're trying to figure this out, bro.
I'm wondering, should I be inspired that the
to write a book?
Maybe I can call it Mustaches and Neck Rolls, the story of 53. I don't know.
Good looking, man.
Yeah, yours would
the
be about
the best-looking Razorback. There you go. All the things that were
happening while I was in school that I knew nothing about.
Well, Greg, listen, you're a great guy. I'm excited about you. Just keep us posted. If you come to Central Arkansas, let us know. Of course, we'll promote the fact you're signing books here. I got your book. I got to read about one chapter, and then I left out of the country. And so now that I'm back, I'm going to dive into it and read it. It's not a tough read. It's not a dictionary long book. And so I think everybody will enjoy it. It certainly was fun for me to sort of relive, just the early part of that we were there, that you were playing, reliving some
of
the games.
You remember those phones. You remember all that stuff. Absolutely.
Well, hopefully we'll be in Little Rock in June. That's the goal.
Well, then good. You can come back here
in June.
I appreciate
the opportunity to come on and talk about it without giving it away. I want people to read it. It's historical. It's not from my standpoint, from things that I get a chance to point out to who my mentors and heroes were. I come from a stable of good, strong men from San Angelo, Texas. And I want people to understand who they were and what they did, not only in Texas, but what they also presented for the nation. Because one of those heroes was the first to break the color barrier below the Mason-Dixon line. So it's a lot of stuff in there. And I don't use the word a lot, but there's much information as much as storytelling. And Leland did a great job in how he framed it. And then we just took it from there with stories. It's a great read, I can tell you that.
I just got this from Terry Connor Johnson, who heads up the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, said she would love to have a book signing at the museum if you want. So when you come to Little Rock, if you want to have one there, they extend you that offer.
Well, thank you. Email it to me so I can follow up with it there.
We will do that.
I can say and do a lot of things and forget a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
Remember, we're 56.
I know. It's
well,
okay.
Greg. Well, we look forward to having you down in Little Rock when you get here. Maybe get you up on the show with us then, too, Greg.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Like I said, I apologize to all those that went into the Hall of Fame, not only in Fayetteville last weekend, but there in Little Rock, but don't have previous engagements. And hopefully we can hopefully we'll do that where I'm going into that Hall of Fame. Let's say that,
man. That's exactly. I would love that, man. Uh-huh. That would be uh-huh. fantastic, Greg. I would love
and
that.
And I put that out there.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Self-promotion, baby. You got to do it. You got to do it. All right,
thank
Greg,
you.
We'll talk soon.
I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Have fun.
Have a great
Arkansas.
Day.
All right, Greg,
you,
Greg Thomas.
There it is. You got to go Hogs. Yeah, there's an Amber Alert going on. A child abduction going on.
Is that what
right
it is?
Now.
I kept hearing it in the background, and my mother was, did it go on for more than one? I mean, it seemed like
it went
on
for a couple of minutes there to let everybody get all the information
went out
in Spanish as well.
Yeah.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I didn't see it on my phone.